This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
Call forth as much as you can of love, of respect, and of faith. Remove the obstructing defilements and clear away all your taints. Listen to the perfect wisdom of the gentle Buddhas, taught for the weal of the world, for heroic spirits intended. Everyone in this room has some troubles and some suffering. I don't think there's anyone sitting here that hasn't felt a bit troubled, maybe just in the last day or even in the last hour. And for 45 years, Shakyamuni Buddha taught about the end of suffering. That was all he was actually teaching about. How do we transform pain, painful emotions, the pains of life, into joy? I woke up this morning, I was really angry, and I thought, I was so angry I didn't even want to talk to anyone. I thought, no, I'm not going to do right speech, I'm going to say terrible things. Oh, I can't be, oh my God, and I said I was going to give a talk and I said the topic was going to be joy. And here I am, slammed a couple of doors, you know, and I thought, oh, wow, how am I ever going to get this round to talking about joy? Well, thank goodness for Zazen. Thank goodness for the teachings of the Buddha. Because joy, happiness, those positive emotions are not something we can just slap on and pretend that that's how we're feeling. As Joan Armatrading, that great avatar, said, show some emotion, put expression in your eyes, light up if you're feeling happy, but if you're sad, then let those tears roll down. So it's not about suppressing emotion or suppressing the things that feel really uncomfortable. In fact, some folks think you can climb up a mountain and get away from that, but you can't. The only way to do it is to get right down in it. So the first period this morning started off, I'm not good at swearing, but there were a few things going through my head, and you know, and I shouldn't read so many murder mysteries, it's really not positive. And then, one good question to ask yourself, if an emotion or a feeling is going on a wee bit too long, and you know it's getting between you and the people you want to talk to, and you do want to say good morning to people and smile at people. One question the Buddha taught us to ask is, who is it that's feeling this emotion? So I sat there thinking, okay, who is it that's feeling this emotion? Who is it that's feeling the emotion? And I couldn't come up with anybody. And I thought, huh. And that was such a relief. It wasn't that the emotion wasn't real. It occurred, or it arose, as we say. But when it became afflictive, when it became a bother, when it became I couldn't say hi, good morning to someone because I was feeling this emotion, then something had to be done. So this is exactly what the Buddha was teaching on. Remember the story that he went out, he was kept, you know, in a privileged environment and was kept away from things like old age, sickness and death. And then it said one day he went out of the palace that he lived in and saw a sick person, an old person, you know, old age, sickness and death, a corpse. And then he saw an ascetic, a monk. So his whole drive was, how can we help to end the suffering or ease the suffering of the world? And some of you might be familiar with the Dhammapada, which is the teachings of the Buddha. And of course, rather like Jesus, nothing was written down when he was around. But the words were apparently memorized. And if you hear them, you'll feel how true they ring. Right? So it's the very, very first thing in the Dhammapada. Well, it's not the very first thing. It's actually page 4, but never mind. We are what we think. All that we are arises with our thoughts. With our thoughts we make the world. Speak or act with a troubled mind and trouble will follow you, as the wheel follows the ox that draws the cart. We are what we think. All that we are arises with our thoughts. With our thoughts we make the world. Speak or act with a pure mind and happiness will follow you as your shadow unshakable. How can a troubled mind understand the way? Your worst enemy cannot harm you as much as your own thoughts unguarded. But once mastered, no one can help you as much, not even your mother or your father. And he also goes on to say that hate never cured hate. Only love cures hate. So it all comes back down to Zazen. And that was one of the great tools that we inherited and that we keep polishing and working with. However, there are other methodologies. As you know, Buddhism's been around for a wee while. There's quite a few different ways to tackle it. And it felt kind of important, instead of just walking around, I'm fine, to actually get to the heart and to talk about these afflictive emotions. But how do you transform them? That's the whole point. How do you transform them? The Buddha said, with understanding and compassion, you'll be able to heal the wounds in your heart and the wounds in the world, remembering that we are part of everything. So, one of my absolute favorite sutras is the Avatamsaka Sutra. And I don't know if anyone knows it, it's the longest sutra. I'm holding my hands like that because those are what the books are like. There's 39 books of this sutra. And I used to live at Tassajara Monastery, and every summer when all the folks would come and people from college to help look after the guests at the monastery, I would read with everybody Entry into the Realm of Reality, which is book 39 of the Avatamsaka Sutra. And Thomas Cleary is the translator, and he says at the beginning, beware of the bliss. Why does he say beware of the bliss? We're just sitting reading something. The thing is that the brain cannot follow the Avatamsaka Sutra. And we're going to do it in a moment. We're going to do it in a moment. And what happens is, you might notice, that the brain gives up. The mind gives up. So there's one way that I found always, within a few minutes, ended my suffering, was to pass the book round and we'd all read a bit. And by the time we got, and people start giggling and laughing, sounded like they were drunk or high or something. But it was just the relief of the mind stopping. So I highly recommend it. It's not anything to be discussed. That would kind of spoil the effect. Jerome Peterson, a dear Dharma brother of mine, he did this for years at San Francisco Zen Center. Every Tuesday morning, people would just go in the room with him, he'd pass the book round, and everybody would read a section. So instead of blabbing on about it, let me just give you a little taste. Usually what happens when you're listening to someone speaking is you're thinking about what they're saying, you're judging it, oh, that's right. If it fits with what you're thinking, oh, that's right. If it doesn't fit with what you're thinking, oh, that's wrong. You know. But how can you just, what does it feel like to not have all that judgmental mind going on? So I'd like you to try to just listen. Not anything else, just listen. Like when we're sitting, we're just sitting. So try to just listen. And I'll give you a little flavour of the Avatamsaka Sutra. It's a story of someone on their way to enlightenment and all the different people that they meet who teach them something on their way to enlightenment. My favourite one is actually when he meets a boy counting grains of sand on the beach. And Manjushri and all the great ones taught this little boy how to count the grains of sand. And that one goes on for five pages. They're like one munyata equals two sunyatas equal abhayata, and it just goes like that for five pages. Anyway, I chose something a wee bit more juicy. This worthy wishes to assemble the ship of the Dharma, a precious gift to rescue sentient beings from the four torrents, birth, old age, sickness and death. She wishes to set up the great bridge of the Dharma for those sunk in the morass of views. She wishes to produce the light of knowledge for those in the darkness of delusion. She wishes to point out the path of the sages to those lost in the wilderness of the mundane world. She wishes to dispense the medicine of the Dharma to those suffering from the illness of afflictions. She wishes to give the element of immortality to those assailed by birth, old age, and death. She wishes to cool those burning with the three fires, greed, hate, and delusion, by means of the water of tranquility. She wishes to give great comfort to those suffering from sorrow, grief, misery, and depression. She wishes to give those bound in the prison of existence the knowledge to break out. She wishes to give the sword of wisdom to those tied to views. She wishes to show the door of liberation to those locked in the city of the triple world, desire realm, form realm, and formless realm. She wishes to show the direction of safety to those moving in dangerous directions. She wishes to comfort those suffering from the joint operation of the afflictions. She wishes to lend a hand to those terrorized by the perils of falling into states of woe. She wishes to show the citadel of nirvana to those struck by the murderous clusters. That's the five skandhas, form, sensation, feeling, perception and consciousness. She wishes to tell those surrounded by the serpents of the elements how to escape. To those loitering in the ghost town of the senses, she wishes to show the way out by the light of wisdom. Those on wrong paths, she wishes to lead into the right path. To the friendless, she wishes to show true spiritual friends. To those clinging to the realm of the infantile, unenlightened condition, she wishes to initiate into the teachings of the sages. To those clinging to the city of the mundane world, she wishes to lead to the city of omniscience. Did you get that? So there's one way of stilling the mind. I've actually used my Scottish accent to do the same thing. Because when I talk the way I used to talk, it's actually incomprehensible to people. So people are just sitting there. But the good thing that you might not know about the Avatamsaka Sutra is that while your mind is stilled and trying to follow that, these are all vital teachings that just came straight in. You didn't stop any of them. So you've just received a whole load of teachings that you actually can't cognize in any way whatsoever, which is a great thing. So there's two methods already we've got. Our Zazen and asking, who's feeling this? And something that stills the mind sufficiently that you can get that bit of peace and quiet. Of course, I'm very fond of silence, as all the residents here know. And the reason that I like silence is that I can keep practicing, and I'm not all caught up in what's going on right this moment. A day of silence can be a pilgrimage in itself. A day of silence can help you to listen to the soul play. its marvellous lute and drum, is not most talking a crazed defence of a crumbling fort. I love that part. Is not most talking a crazed defence of a crumbling fort. I thought we came here to surrender in silence, to yield to light and happiness, to dance within in celebration of love's victory. Can I have a time check? Because I have a very... Is that it down there? Oh. I've got, like, there's about 10 Dharma talks, so I have to... Quarter after? Oh, Lordy. Okay. It's hard to be judgmental about poetry. Here's some Rumi. It's called I've Said It Before and I'll Say It Again. I've said it before and I'll say it again. It's not my fault that with a broken heart I've gone this way. In front of a mirror they put me like a parrot, and behind the mirror the teacher tells me what to say. Whether I'm perceived as a thorn or a rose, it's the gardener who has fed and nourished me day to day. Oh, friends, don't blame me for this broken heart. Inside me there is a great jewel, and it's to the jeweler's shop I go. Even though to pious drinking wine is a sin, don't judge me. I use it as bleach to wash the colour of hypocrisy away. All that laughing and weeping of lovers must be coming from some other place. Here all night I sing with my wine cup, and then mourn for you all day. Oh, sorry, it's Hafiz, not Rumi. Beg pardon. If someone were to ask Hafiz, why do you spend all your time sitting in the winehouse door? To this person I would say, from there, standing, I can see both the path and the way. It always seems to me that the biggest cause of our suffering is ourselves. The biggest judge of ourselves is ourselves. You can put on a face for other people, but inside you can think, oh, why are they smiling? If only they knew. Why does that person want to be my lover? If only they knew what I was really like. I really think that we're our own worst enemy. How do you love yourself and forgive yourself and have compassion for yourself? How many people here think they're just fine? How many people here think they're just fine? Well, those are my two students. All right, guys. Oh, you raised your hand. So basically, everyone's sitting here thinking there's something wrong with them. Something's broken, something's damaged, something isn't right. Dearie Miri. The thing is that this is the way we are right now. There's no more perfect person, no more perfect version of you waiting out there. There's no one here that doesn't feel they have troubles, and apparently there's only three of us that think we're all right. That's judgment, self-judgment. Remember in Zazen, we try to stay just right here. Not going into emotion, not going into judgment. So remember, you can practice your Zazen all the time. It doesn't have to wait till you're staring at a wall. As some of you know, I teach out on the streets and in shelters and hospice and things like that. And we never stare at the wall. Life on the streets is miserable enough without staring at a wall, you know, and in shelters, not exactly a whoopie-doo place. And we tend to sit outdoors. So you can actually use every single thing. Listen to that bird. Right in the middle of sadness, right in the middle of these emotions, we can still appreciate that sound. Who's the one that's never busy? Who's the one that the Buddha talked about who's never busy, who's never sad? Ask yourself, who is it that's saying, I am angry? Who's that? Oh, look, I'm angry. Who's observing who? That's the one that's never busy. Oh, look, I'm so sad. That's the one that's not sad. Oh, look, I'm not understanding this. That's good, nobody is. That's another very useful question. Who is this? Who's the one that's saying there's something wrong with me? Who's the one that's saying I'm not perfect? Who's that one? It says in the sutras, take the backward step that turns your light inwardly to illuminate yourself. A beggar had been sitting by the side of the road for 30 years. One day a stranger walked past. Spare some change, mumbled the beggar. I have nothing to give you, said the stranger. Then he asked, what's that you're sitting on? Nothing, replied the beggar. Just an old box. I've been sitting on it as long as I can remember. Did you ever look inside? Asked the stranger. No, said the beggar. What's the point? There's nothing in there. Have a look inside, said the stranger. The beggar reluctantly managed to pry open the lid. With astonishment, disbelief, and elation, he saw that the box was filled with gold. I am that stranger who has nothing to give you, and who is telling you to look inside. Not inside any box, as in the story, but somewhere even closer, inside yourself. That's the treasure house. At the end of most sittings that I do, we do a very powerful meditation. And we call it the loving kindness meditation. And I don't know if we made it up in our Sangha or if it's something someone else came up with. Doesn't really matter, I suppose. And we use some of the words from the Metta Sutta, or the Meditation on Loving Kindness. So I'd like us all to do this together. And this is another tool for when things just feel a bit too much. And I found it especially useful if I feel like I'm in conflict with someone. So we start off with ourselves, because if you can express that loving compassion, forgiveness for whatever it is you think is wrong with yourself. If you can't express that loving kindness and compassion to yourself, how can you really, truly extend it out to other people? So here's how it goes. We say silently, of course, this is after all Zen, may I be happy, may I live in peace and good health. Then start to name other people. May Andy be happy. May he live in peace and good health. And keep going. Anybody you know that you want to send that loving kindness to. And then the interesting part, if you feel that you're in conflict with someone, bring their face to mind. It's okay to close your eyes for this one. Bring their face to mind and genuinely say, may you be happy, may you live in peace and good health. And I've actually found this to be effective, saying it out loud. I had someone who was very angry at me one point, and so angry he'd bumped me and knocked me into a wall, and it was just really horrible. And I saw him every week at the Zen Center, and, you know, if looks could kill, I'd have been dead a long time ago. And I was very upset by it. I like to think I can be harmonious with everybody, and it bothers me when I can't get through. But I knew there was nothing I could do to change him. So the next time he came walking towards me with the hate stare, I stood up and I bowed to him and I said, "May you be happy, may you live in peace and good health." And you know what? I immediately felt free. So, another tool. So let's all do this together. So we start off with silently, "May I be happy, may I live in peace and good health." And then bring to mind those that you'd like to send that to. And then if you want to try the challenging part, bring someone to mind that you think you're in conflict with and send that to them. Could we just have a wee bell? And then, may I be happy, may I live in peace and good health. And if you haven't done it yet, send the loving kindness to someone you feel conflict. One day the sun admitted, "I am just a shadow. I wish I could show you the infinite incandescence that has cast my brilliant image. I wish I could show you, when you are lonely or in darkness, the astonishing light of your own being." Do we still have time for some questions and comments? A little bit. So we can have a little bit questions, comments, words of wisdom.
Are you fine? And I hesitated, of course.
Sorry?
You asked, "Are you fine?"
Yes.
And I hesitated, I didn't raise my hand, and this is my own processing, but you know, fine in itself is a judgment. I think I got it as, you know, what it is and what it is and what it's not in that instant.
It's a Scottish word, you see. Fine. Anybody else? Andy?
In the context of practice, earlier you were saying that in Zazen you don't go into emotions, but you said something along those lines. And one thing I've been working with is really being with what is, like if there's an emotion that's arising, being with it as it is without trying to change it or placing a judgment on it, thinking it's bad, trying to push it away, and being with it. And also being careful about what some people call spiritual bypassing.
Spiritual bypass.
Which maybe is more of a complex concept and to bring up quickly. So, well, it's really just kind of like, you know, using spirituality to
smooth out. Yeah, it's all
but
fine.
It's still there.
Yeah.
It's still
yeah.
Underneath, you know what I mean? But
no, thank you. Bypass. Thank you. No, thank you for
so
bringing that point up.
Of what you describe and something like that.
Right. The effort is, can we stay at, you know, just this? But, of course, just this, as you say, could already contain emotions, could already contain feelings. So completely accepting what that is, of course, is the way. It's not about, oh, damn it, I feel angry, I'm not going to go there, you know. So thank you for bringing that up. The effort is to try to stay at form, you know. Form, feelings, perceptions, formations, consciousness. So the effort is to remain right here at form. But I'm always saying you've got to accept whatever's right there. Otherwise you start fighting it and that's not going to add to your peace of mind. You know? Thank you for bringing that point up. Thank you.
Just to add to that, it's I've heard this from Rev and from other teachers, that in the process of becoming familiar and accepting your emotional production, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to express it to another person, which could be useful, but oftentimes it can be unskillful or harmful. So it takes not just the honesty of recognizing emotional production within yourself, but also a kind of skillfulness in how it's shared with others.
Yeah. Leaking, we used to call that leaking. Thank you. Yeah, that's why I was saying I was trying not to talk to anybody this morning. Because I knew something rather unskillful might come out, you know. But I tell you, one period of Zazen, you can't say too much about Zazen.
Yeah. On Mike's note, there are last night, my neighbor came to the house knocking on the door, and as I do, I, aspiring comedian, I say, "Oh, we've been expecting you," which we weren't. And then he said, "I have some bad news." And he said, "My son just died abruptly, 600-foot drop." And immediately I started weeping. And it wasn't skillful means, perhaps, but on the other hand, I believe in hindsight, or at that moment, because of that emotion, I connected right to him. And
actually, I think it was skillful.
Yeah.
But to release that way.
Yeah.
This was something I want to say was instinctual, though, perhaps, or inherent in me over the word skillful. It came as the emotion came, was my connection to him.
That's why I sang that wee bit of Joan Armour Trading, show some emotion. Because, you know, the Dalai Lama talks about, you know, anger is a really afflictive emotion. It's really painful to have it. And it's so tricky not to act it out and not to be dragged around by it. And he said, don't ignore it. You know, he said, in America especially, a lot of people are very afraid of anger and don't know how to handle it, don't know what to deal with it, so they kind of stuff it down. And my teacher, that was her name I chanted first in the well-being ceremony. She's 88 and just fell and broke her hip, so wishing her well. My teacher always said, whatever you stuff behind you just jumps up and bites you in the butt. And the Dalai Lama said, feel your emotions completely. You know, you can completely, don't pretend that they're not happening. And he said, for example, something like anger is a strong power. So if you can actually take the energy of it and use it without the afflictive hurting, you know, for example, if you're angry about nuclear proliferation, you know, take that energy, go out, join a group, sit down, chant, demonstrate. Don't just sit at home burning up with anger, you know. So it is possible to use those. And a genuine, I mean, there's a whole big, you know, the whole big discussion in Buddhism, there's different schools. There's a story about one of the masters dies and some of the monks start to weep, and some of the other monks say, you shouldn't be doing that. You know, you're letting all your emotions out. So there's actually a couple of schools of thought on whether you should even let it out. But I think, you know, this is America. You know, we're real people. Yeah. And as you say, that connection, I mean, if you'd stood there and went, really? Ah, that's sad. I mean, you know. And we're just talking about when the emotions get to the afflictive point, to the point where, you know, you're still weeping about something that happened. You know, I held on to a lover for 26 years after I lost them. You know? I know what it feels like to hold on to things way, way, way too long. But at the same time, I just wanted, the last thing I want to say, because Mike just came and bowed at the door for lunch, don't be so hard on yourself. We're human beings. We're not Ken and Barbie dolls. You know, we've got emotions, we've got things. Yeah, my hand doesn't work, my neck's all messed up. That's just being a human being, you know. And that's why I read that last poem, I wish I could show you, you know, the beautiful light of your own being, you know. So, zazen, 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 zazen. Well, I think it's time to probably go up and have some lunch.
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jokoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jokoji, please visit us on the web at jokoji.org.